This is Barron's Live. Each weekday, we bring you live conversations from our newsrooms about what's moving the market right now. On this podcast, we take you inside those conversations, the stories, the ideas, and the stocks to watch so you can invest smarter. Now, let's dial in.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Barron's Live Market Watch Edition. I'm Alessandra Melito, the retirement reporter for Market Watch, and I'm pleased today to welcome Ari Parker, head Medicare advisor and co-founder of Chapter, a company that specializes in maximizing Medicare coverage options for Americans. Welcome. Thanks so much for joining me today.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, Allie.
So I want to get right into this conversation because Medicare is one of those topics that is super important and yet sometimes could feel a little complex for the average person. So if you don't mind, I would like to first start with painting a picture of healthcare in America. You know, what I hear often as the retirement reporter, how expensive healthcare is, especially for retirees. But what do you see for retirees specifically, and where does Medicare fit into all that?
Of course. And this is just every day my team works with many people who are trying to navigate their Medicare coverage. We've helped thousands of people navigate Medicare. And one of their major concerns is, will my Medicare be as good as my work provided coverage? And the answer, thankfully, is typically yes. Medicare is one of the most popular government programs. And the reason it's so popular is because it really covers people's medical costs, not all of them, which I'm sure we'll touch on, but many of their major costs in a way that they did not anticipate before they retired. So many people are quite pleased when they discover that.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot to cover when it comes to Medicare, but what would you say are the top one or two things that Americans of any age, young or old, should know when it comes to Medicare, whether that be like with the enrollment process or the coverage mm-hmm. process or anything like that?
Mm-hmm. There are two major things. The first is that Medicare typically doesn't start automatically unless you're taking Social Security. If you're taking Social Security, then you will be automatically enrolled into Medicare. However, if you're not taking Social Security yet and you're approaching the age of 65, then it's actually something that you have to affirmatively opt into. And my team and I, you can reach out to us, ari@askchapter.com, and I can send you our guide to starting Medicare in less than 5 minutes. It's a really simple process that you can go through online. The second thing to keep in mind is that Medicare doesn't cover all of your costs. In fact, it only covers up to about 80% of one's medical costs. So that's the other thing to keep in mind, is that Medicare doesn't cover all of your medical costs.
Definitely. And then as far as the timeline, I know that sometimes there's a little bit confusion as to when people actually should or can opt into Medicare if they're not automatically, you know, enrolled. Could you talk a little bit just about that?
Absolutely. The time in which you can enroll in Medicare is 3 months before the month in which you turn 65. If you're coming off work provided coverage and you're after the age of 65, there's a special enrollment process for you to go through. You actually get a special enrollment period. And that's something that my team and I would be happy to walk you through. But just know that there's two separate tracks depending on whether you're turning 65 or whether you're coming off work provided coverage after the age of 65.
Gotcha. Thank you for clarifying that. So yeah. What would you say are some of the major misconceptions about Medicare?
Oh, there are several, but I'll just name a few that come to mind. The first is that Medicare doesn't cover all of your medical costs. I think there's a misconception that Medicare is going to take care of 100% of your medical costs, and that just isn't true. That's where discussions about additional coverage come into play. And thankfully, there are only two types of additional coverage, and I'd be happy to get into each of those types. The second misconception is that Medicare is automatic. We've already covered that one. It's not. It's something that you have to affirmatively opt into if you're not taking Social Security. The final misconception, the biggie, is that Medicare has, there's no maximum out of pocket to Medicare. So the you owe, in exchange for your Part B premium of about $148.50, Medicare covers 80% of your medical costs. The other 20% belong to you. And that number just keeps going up and up. There's no lifetime maximum out of pocket.
So actually, could you talk a little bit about the coverage aspect that you were referring to before? I think there are some pretty big areas of healthcare that Medicare doesn't touch that people aren't aware of. Could you talk a little bit about what those are?
Sure, absolutely. Original Medicare has two parts. Part A is hospital insurance, which means that you're under the hospital's roof eating the hospital's jello. It means that you're inpatient, that you have a wristband. Part A is typically fully prepaid if you've worked for at least 10 years. Then there's Part B. Part B is medical insurance. That's visits to the doctor. It's outpatient coverage. For example, if you need outpatient surgery, Part B would cover that. Part B, there's 80-20 cost sharing. So you owe 20%. The government only picks up 80% in exchange for that Part B premium that you pay. So the other 20% belong to you, and there's no maximum out of pocket. So that's where additional coverage comes into play. And I'd be happy to talk about that as well.
Yeah, please do. What are some of your options for additional coverage?
Sure. There are two types of additional coverage. There's Medigap supplement, also known as Medicare supplement, which sits on top of original Medicare. What people really like about Medicare supplement is it allows you to see all the same doctors as original Medicare. Then there's Medicare Advantage, which is also known as a cost plan. And you've probably seen commercials for this on television, like the one featuring Joe Namath. And what people really like about Medicare Advantage is that it has a low premium, some as low as $0. And it also comes with additional benefits like vision, dental, and hearing that original Medicare doesn't touch.
Yeah, I know about the dental and the vision. That's always a surprise to me. Even though I've heard it numerous times, it's always a surprise when I hear it again.
Right. Original Medicare doesn't cover dental, vision, hearing.
That's very helpful to know, though. So as far as those additional coverages, you know, how does one proceed with something like that? If you're enrolled in Medicare and you realize, okay, I need a little bit more, are there special rules or deadlines for something like that?
Yes. There are special rules that apply to Medicare supplement. For Medicare supplement, you have an open enrollment right when you start Medicare. It's typically 6 months, but it varies state by state. And an advisor would definitely be able to help walk you through which timetable applies to you. So that is that there is definitely special rules that apply for Medicare supplement. For Medicare Advantage, we're actually approaching the annual enrollment period, which begins October 15th, which is when you have maximum flexibility to make changes for your coverage in preparation for 2022.
October 15th is actually not that far away. So I have a follow-up question for you. For somebody who is approaching the age for Medicare, maybe isn't on Social Security yet, between now and October 15th, what should that person do to prepare?
Okay. So the first question would be, have they started Medicare? If they haven't started Medicare, then now is the time to start thinking about what their plan is to have coverage when they retire. If they already have started Medicare, then now is the time to start putting together a list of the doctors that you want to see for next year to make sure that they'll be covered under original Medicare. And if you choose, for example, a Medicare Advantage plan, then it's a question of, is your doctor covered in the private insurance company's network? Because with a Medicare Advantage plan, your Medicare benefits are privately administered by an insurance company. So it's a question of whether that doctor is in network. And that's something my team and I, or an independent advisor, could definitely help you sort through to see whether your doctor is covered.
Actually, so I would love to learn a little bit more just about what you do. So could you talk a little bit about, how many variables or options are there available to the average American when it comes to picking a plan or picking the right strategy for Medicare?
Wow. There are so many counties around the United States. And in each county, your plan options vary in each county around the United States. So there are over 20,000 plans to sort through nationwide. And this is where it can be really valuable to have a tool like the one Chapter has created to search through plan by plan to see whether your doctors and your medications will be covered.
Wow, that is a lot. There are lots of, that's a lot of plans. I just want to take a quick second to remind our viewers that we are taking questions. So if you have anything that you'd like to ask about Medicare, please feel free to let us know and we'll get to it afterwards. All right, so back to my questions. The trustees report recently came out and it mentioned the state of affairs for Social Security and Medicare. One of the things that it did find was that the program's funds for Medicare would be depleted by 2026, at which point revenue would cover about 91% of the hospital insurance costs. Could you just briefly tell us, you know, what does that all mean? What should Americans know? You know, what, just break it down for us, I guess.
It's too early to tell. That report that you're referencing, the trustee report, is based on a projection for 2026. So though it appears that there will be some type of shortfall, it is just a projection and it's too early for us to tell what things will look like in 5 years.
Absolutely. And then as far as just to, you know, precautions, I do know, like I said before, as a retirement reporter, I hear all the time about how expensive healthcare is, especially for people in retirement. So along with picking the right Medicare plan or the right coverage, additional coverage, what should people be doing to help themselves in the future when it comes to paying for these healthcare costs?
People are typically surprised at just how affordable Medicare is, even if they go the most comprehensive route, which would be a Medicare supplement, typically a Plan G, as in George, and a standalone prescription drug plan. That said, if they're looking for more cost control, then there's Medicare Advantage plans with premiums as low as $0, which is very surprising to people when they learn just how affordable their health coverage will be when they start Medicare. Because people are used to having high deductible work provided coverage with high premiums. And it's surprising to know that 85% of Americans typically only pay about $150 per month for their Medicare Part B.
And then as far as the additional costs, you mentioned like the out-of-pocket costs, is there anything that people could do to kind of, I don't know, either curb those expenses or at least be ready to go so that it doesn't become like an emergency situation for them financially?
Absolutely. The number one thing I would say is to speak with an independent licensed advisor, because there is no charge to work with an advisor. Advisories like Chapter, there's no charge to work with us. It's entirely free. And so that's really a way to get a handle on what your costs will look like when you start Medicare. And also, if you're already on Medicare, what your costs will look like for the next plan year and whether your doctors will be covered and whether your prescriptions will be affordable to you.
Absolutely. And so as far as, I mean, every person is different, I'm well aware of this, but just what do you see in the healthcare cost space as far as, like, you know, for the average retiree? I know it does vary on person and health conditions and all of that, but I have seen reports in the past from certain institutions that say that the average couple could expect to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in retirement on healthcare alone. So, you know, just what are you seeing in that landscape?
Well, what I see in practice is that, again, people are typically surprised by just how affordable Medicare is, and how they're surprised at the type of cost control that, again, the hundreds of thousands of dollars would be if someone just has original Medicare and they have a lot of expenses that Medicare doesn't cover, because Medicare doesn't have an out-of-pocket limit if you don't choose additional coverage. So that's really where advisories like Chapter can help, because it makes sure that on one hand, you ascertain what your costs will be when you start Medicare. It gives you a clear picture of what your costs will look like. And two, it imposes an out-of-pocket limit if you choose some type of additional coverage, whether it be Medicare Supplement, also known as Medigap, or a Medicare Advantage plan.
Absolutely. So I have one more question before we move on to some of our viewer questions. But this goes perfectly in line with what you were saying about all those different plans. For the average person who is trying to make sense of, you know, just the right coverage, what would you say are some of the most important variables to look at? So, for example, if they have their own doctor that they, you know, that they already have been using, should they be looking to see if that person is in network, or should they be looking for additional or alternative doctors? Does where you get your healthcare matter as far as like the type of hospital or institution? Could you talk a little bit about those sorts of factors that go into selecting plans and strategies?
Absolutely. Allie, as you just said, it all goes to the doctors that you want to see, the medications that you take. It's a case-by-case analysis. And that's something a licensed advisor can really help with. And there is no charge to use one. Services like Chapter are completely free. Now, with that said, typically people find that the vast majority of doctors around the country accept Original Medicare. So people are surprised to see that the doctor that they were hoping to continue seeing, that they can in fact continue to see them. And I know this was the case for my mom when she started Medicare last year. She was able to continue to see, or she has been able to continue to see all of her providers, and she lives just outside Chicago.
Well, that is a nice story. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah.
So I have a few viewer questions. I'm going to just start asking you if that.
Of course.
Okay. So Anne asked, what is the catch with Medicare Advantage policies? It seems too good to be true compared to Medigap traditional if once doctors and drugs are covered.
All right. The key to Anne's question is that if your doctors and prescriptions are covered, then there's no catch. But remember, these are privately, Medicare Advantage is Medicare provided through a private insurance company. It's privately administered. So there it's going doctor by doctor to make sure that they accept that private insurance company's coverage.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at all of our questions. And so Robert asked, what are the pitfalls of switching from Medicare Advantage to Original Medicare and a Medigap policy?
In many states, well, there's no pitfall. There's just something to be aware of, which is that in many states, there will be underwriting that is required. What this means is that you're subject to denial. It's not like a life insurance exam, though. A nurse doesn't come to administer an exam. Instead, it's typically 7 to 10 questions that ask about various health factors. Note that that would only apply, though, if you're outside of your open enrollment period. So if you're turning 65 or you're starting Medicare, then this is a time where you can work with a licensed advisor to make sure that you don't even have to be subject to denial, because you will have an open enrollment right. And this is true around the country. You'll have an open enrollment right by virtue of starting Medicare to choose a Medicare supplement plan in which you cannot be subject to denial and you do not need to disclose your pre-existing conditions.
That was very helpful. Doug asked, I'm preparing to register with Medicare and the premiums for Part B and Part D are based on HEI from 2 years prior. What if that AGI was skewed by a sizable difference? Is there a course of action to exempt, to just proceed?
Doug, I have good news for you. There's a change of circumstance. It's called Form 44, and this will allow the Social Security Administration to look at this year's income rather than the two-year look back that you're referencing. So a licensed advisor could certainly help you with that. And I would just like to offer my team as a resource here. Our number is 605-205-8869. And any one of our team members can help you with Form 44, change of circumstance.
Form 44, that is very good to know. And actually, you know, we didn't touch too much on Part D. Could you just briefly break down what exactly that does for, you know, for a participant?
Sure. Part D is the prescription drug component to Medicare. It's not part of original Medicare. Original Medicare is hospital and medical, but Part D was added in the mid-2000s. And what Part D does is it provides coverage for prescription drugs, and there's two ways to get it. You can either purchase a standalone prescription drug plan, or you can use a Medicare Advantage prescription drug plan in order to obtain it. And again, this is where working with a licensed advisor can really help.
Definitely. And then you talked about this a little bit before, but Raghu asked, can seniors who have not contributed to Social Security be eligible for Medicare? So could you just briefly remind everybody just how you can be enrolled, or like when you're eligible, or if you're eligible?
Sure. So I think what this question is referring to is the Part A, the Medicare payroll tax. And here, if you paid the Medicare payroll tax for 40 quarters, which is 10 years, then Part A is typically fully prepaid in that circumstance. However, if you haven't fully prepaid for Part A, then there's a charge to obtain it. And my team is skilled at going into the specifics here as to what might apply if you haven't fully prepaid for Part A. But what one ought to know is if you've paid the Medicare payroll tax for 10 plus years, then it's fully prepaid. There's always a charge for Medicare Part B unless you're on full Medicaid status. The charge for Medicare Part B for 85% of Americans is $148.50 per month. That covers 80% cost sharing with Medicare. The other 20% belong to you with no maximum out of pocket unless you choose some type of additional coverage.
Understood. And Sarah asked, is it true that once you select a Medicare Advantage plan that you cannot return to original Medicare?
No, that's not true. You can return to original Medicare specifically starting October 15th during the annual enrollment period.
That's a very big day. We all have to be paying attention that day.
It won't go into effect until... Oh, I'm sorry, Alex.
Oh, no, it's okay. I'm just saying we all have to be on it.
Yes, yes, yes. The annual enrollment period is when you have maximum flexibility. And so, yes, that is the biggest time of year, I would say, the period between October 15th and December 7th. That's the annual enrollment period.
And then it goes into effect the following year? Is that what you were going to say?
That's right. January 1.
Perfect. Okay. And Ronald asked, how is long-term care handled with Medicare?
It is not. Medicare does not have a long-term care component. There have been proposals in Congress to add long-term care to Medicare, but so far none have made it out of committee. And this is something I actually write about weekly in our newsletter, which is called Chapter Weekly. And if you'd like to subscribe to it, you can just drop your email in the comments and I'd be happy to add you afterwards, or you can reach out and I'll get you signed up.
So a few viewers asked how Chapter is compensated for its advice, or just, you know, how that all works.
Absolutely. There's no charge for our service. It's 100% free. As for compensation, like many advisories, we are paid commission by the insurance company that you ultimately choose to enroll with. That said, it does not affect our consultation with you. We have recommended many, many plans that we do not get any commission from. And in fact, it does not factor into any of our, into the way in which our advisors are paid.
Absolutely. And Kathy asked, I'm looking for details about how to choose supplement versus Advantage for someone who's 65 and still employed and carrying employer-based coverage. Does that current plan typically end, or do you add gap on top of it?
Big question. There are a couple parts here. The first is, how large is your employer? If your employees is 20 employees or more, then you have the option of remaining on your work provided coverage, and you'll receive a special enrollment period to start Medicare when you retire, Medicare Part B. There's a little nuance there as to whether it's a high deductible plan and whether you contribute to a health savings account. Small nuance, but an important one. So here's where it can really help to work with an advisor, because they know the rules inside and out. And that's certainly true of my team. Ellie, what was the second part of the question?
So she asked, if you're still employed and carrying employer-based coverage, does that current plan typically end or do you add gap on top of it?
Again, it goes to the size of the employer. It's not that the coverage would end if it's a small group plan. That means 20 employees or less or fewer. Instead, you would need to start Medicare, though. Otherwise, you would be subject to a late enrollment penalty. And you certainly don't want to face a late enrollment penalty. I was working with a handyman in Pittsburgh the other day who has 8 employees. And he really wanted to remain on his small group insurance plan. But because he was 68, he wasn't aware that he actually needed to start Medicare at 65. So in the interim, he had 3 years of penalties. And those penalties continue for the rest of his life. He'll owe an additional 30% on his Part B Medicare premium for the remainder of his life as a result of not knowing the enrollment deadlines and not acting when he first needed to.
Oh my gosh, that's so stressful. So
yes.
So that seems pretty important. Could you actually break down that little aspect for us? Like, when would you start getting hit with a penalty? You mentioned if you're a part of a plan with 20 people or fewer, but are there any other instances where you might be, charged a penalty?
Yes. In addition to the Part B late enrollment penalty, which is the way the penalty is calculated is for every 12 month period in which you should have had Part B and that you didn't, you owe an extra 10%. That's one penalty. The second penalty is the Part D, which is prescription drugs, D as in drugs, the Part D late enrollment penalty. And that actually begins 63 days after not having creditable prescription drug coverage. So there are two separate penalties to be aware of. And again, this is where it really helps to work with a licensed independent advisory like Chapter.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to pay extra fees like that.
100%. And this goes to your cost control question. In terms of planning for retirement, you don't want to have to plan to owe penalties in perpetuity to the government.
But there are times when you can delay Medicare coverage, right?
Yes. If you have a large group health plan, that would be an example.
Perfect. That is very good to know.
Yeah, there is one thing I would add here, though, and that is some people find, many people find, that it's to their advantage to actually start Medicare, even if they're on a large group employer plan, because they're going to receive more from their Medicare health care coverage than they would from their work provided plan. They're going to save money, and it's actually better coverage.
And you're referring to original Medicare in that instance?
I'm referring to original Medicare plus some type of additional coverage. Okay. Be it a Medicare supplement or Medicare Advantage.
Gotcha. So we have one question from Gwen. She asked, I'm 60 years old and wondering at what age should I begin researching and preparing to apply for Medicare? And when exactly am I qualified for Medicare?
Quinn, you are ahead of the process. I wish all clients were like you. You are 5 years early unless you qualify by way of disability or for some other reason. But I would be doing exactly what you're doing right now. And it sounds like you'll be ready to go when you turn 65. What you would want to do in preparation is about 6 to 9 months beforehand, you would want to start working with an advisor to go through your doctors and your prescriptions to make sure that your coverage will be set up for when you turn 65, because that's when your Medicare will start.
Absolutely. And then Tom asked, if you know you'll have at least $6,000 annually in drug costs, if you have Part D, should you have Part D or is an Advantage plan the way to go? What's typical of a break-even point?
The vast majority of Advantage plans have a prescription drug component. So what I would be curious here is specifically which types of medications you're on that amount to $6,000 per year, because there should be substantial cost savings by way of Medicare Part D. The only question would be whether you want a standalone Part D prescription plan or a Medicare Advantage prescription drug plan, which would cover your medication.
Okay. Then we had a couple of people asking, can you repeat your email and that phone number again? Some people
absolutely. My email is ari@askchapter.com. ari@askchapter.com. And you can also visit our website, askchapter.com. You can call 605-205-8869. Again, 605-205-8869. Either any of those three ways would be an amazing way to stay in touch. Either by email, ari@askchapter.com. You could visit our website, or you can call 605-205-8869.
So I'm going to ask you one more question, and then I think that's all we have time for today. But there has been a lot of interest in Medicare, so we're definitely going to have to talk more offline. But Neil asked, if I have a health insurance plan that's an authorized Medicare replacement plan, I have been told that I would not be assessed a higher premium if I don't buy the Plan B and Plan D supplement at 65. Should I buy Plan B and Plan D anyway, or wait until I need additional coverage?
This really goes to what your work provided coverage is covering. That's really what's at issue here. And it's something that our team helps people with every single day. We've helped thousands of Americans make this type of comparison between their work provided coverage and what they would receive by starting Medicare.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me today. And you have given valuable advice and insight into a very complex topic. I know I've learned a lot in particular, and I'm sure our viewers have as well. So thank you so much for joining me today. I do appreciate it.
Allie, thank you so much for having me and my team with you today.
Yeah. So to our viewers, we hope you enjoyed today's episode and that you'll listen to our next episode tomorrow. Barron's Senior Managing Editor Lauren Rublin and Deputy Editor Alex Yule will be discussing the outlook for tech companies and individual stocks. Again, thank you all for listening today, and we hope you stay safe and have a great day.